Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, as you know, we have come to verse 16 of Malachi chapter 3, and we have turned a big corner. Because we have discovered in the pages of this book that there is a remnant in the nation of Israel in the days of Malachi who are true believers, who fear the Lord. We haven't had any reference to them up until this point. We might have assumed that everybody in the nation of Israel was rebellious and unbelieving and apostate. But that turns out not to be the case. There is a godly remnant who have been preserved in the midst of this terrible apostasy, like the 700 who had not bowed the knee to Baal in the days of Elijah. So there are a company of, we don't know what number, in the days of Malachi, who have not bowed the knee to contemporary thinking, to the attitudes of the people around them, to the dictates of their culture. No, here are a people who are different. They are distinguished. They are godly. They are the believing remnant. And God has a believing remnant here, and God has a believing remnant in most places. I have to say most instead of all, but I should put it this way. Wherever there is any form of Christianity, you can be sure somewhere around there you're going to find a truly believing remnant. We're often so discouraged when we examine the Christianity around us and find it falling so far short in so many cases, so far from biblical Christianity. And we often despair in those situations as if there are no true Christians anywhere. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Wherever you find Christianity, even apostate Christianity, somewhere you will find a believing remnant. May God help us to find them. So we'll talk more about this after I greet you on this Friday, February 28th, and remind you that we are dependent upon the financial help of our radio listeners. Thank you for your consideration. I think I need to start at this point. I've already started, of course, but I think I need to insert at this point an application of what I've said before I go on any farther. From time to time, people will move locations. They will leave their home, maybe will leave the state in which they live, but leave the town, the city in which they live, move someplace else for any variety of reasons, as we know. And oftentimes, when people move to another location, the word comes back. I'm thinking about people who have moved away from our church and gone to other places, and sometimes the word comes back. We can't find any serious believers here. We can't find a Bible-believing church here. We are in the desert. We are in the wilderness. There's nobody here who believes the Word of God sincerely. And I would encourage you to recognize that that probably is not true. Now, what would make it seem like it's true if it's not true? Well, if you haven't found any genuine believers yet, if you haven't found a faithful church yet, keep in mind that even among faithful churches, there is no perfect church. And what people often mean is, I can't find a church just like that one back home. I can't find another church like the one I have enjoyed and thrived in all of these years. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for another one just like the other one, and there is no other one just like the other one, and so there isn't any. That's a premature conclusion. I understand what you're saying and why you may say it. I think we've all felt something like that at times. I often feel the same way when I'm on vacation or traveling somewhere and looking for a place to worship on the Lord's Day, and how challenging that is. But I have found that if I don't find anything on the first attempt, if I return to that location, if it's a vacation spot that I go back to from time to time, that if I will keep looking, I will find a remnant. I will find a group of serious-minded believers. It does not mean that their church will be exactly like ours. I've never found another church like ours. I don't look for that. If you're looking for that, you're looking for the wrong thing. Sometimes the word will come back to us if people moved away. Oh, I think I'm going to move back. I need to get back to my home church. Well, that certainly encourages us when we hear things like that. And, of course, we'd say, y'all come on back. And occasionally they do. We've had some people that have moved away to faraway states and have been gone for years. And then the word comes, I'm moving back. I'm coming home. I can't wait to come home. Come on. We'll leave the light on. The door's wide open. Nothing would thrill us more than to have you come back. But when you report to us that there just isn't anything acceptable where you live, I know that you don't know how to look, and that you're looking for the wrong things, and that you're looking more at externals than at internals. And I can't turn this whole broadcast today into a lecture on how to find a Bible-believing church, but you're going to have to understand there are going to be some things that are different, and you are perhaps going to have to prioritize what is most important. If you are looking for a church, for example, that has music just like ours, you may not find it. But if you find a church where the Word of God is expounded seriously, and again, nobody does it exactly alike, and so if you particularly like the way the styles of the messages, the ministry, the pulpit ministry that you have left behind, you maybe will not find anything exactly like it. No two people are exactly alike, but if you will find a church where there is a faithful man of God who is serious about expounding the Word of God to his people, I would suggest to you that you found what you need. You found a believing remnant. The music may be different. I know. I've had people say to me, I love that preaching, but I remember a man telling me years ago about a particular church he went to, and he said the music was so grievous to him that he finally got to the place that he would not even show up until the music was over. He would just come for the preaching. I don't recommend that. If the music is that grievous, that difficult, then I would suggest to you that you need to keep looking. I'm not asking you to worship in a church where your heart is grieved every time you try to worship. I understand that dilemma. I've been there and done that too. I visited churches like that. Unfortunately, if you're just there on a visit, you don't have to go back. You can worship with the people of God, even if it's a style that is not the one you're accustomed to and not even one that you think is particularly God-honoring. But you can recognize the hearts of the people as they are endeavoring to worship and praise God, and you can enter into that with them, surely, at least on a one-time visit. But I agree with you. If to have to do that all the time when it really bothers you, that makes it hard to worship. So keep looking. Surely you can find something, because God always has a remnant. That's what I'm saying to you. Just remember Elijah. Have you ever heard the term the Elijah complex? That's what we're talking about. Elijah was having quite a pity party. He had been courageous and faithful and had stared down the prophets of Baal. In fact, had destroyed them all before it was over. They were all dead. And the exertion and what that took out of him, there's just no way that we can understand that fully. And so we're not surprised when he got a threatening message from Jezebel, who said she was going to take his life, just like he had been responsible for taking the lives of the 450 prophets of Baal. And he ran like a scared rabbit and holed up in a cave and complained to the Lord, I only am left. I'm the only one. And God said, you're wrong. I have 700 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Why didn't Elijah know that? Why didn't Elijah know any of them? 700? I mean, obviously, in a nation with a population of probably several million, not huge millions, but several millions in that day, then 700 is certainly a small percentage, but 700 that are true believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the same God that Elijah serves, 700 people who feared the Lord, like this remnant in Malachi that we read in chapter 3, verse 16, then those who feared the Lord, if there were 700 like that, why didn't Elijah at least know a few of them? But for some reason he didn't. He got isolated, and he had the sense that he was all alone. But he was wrong. And God helped him to see that he was wrong. And what I'm suggesting to you is that when you have a similar sentiment, I'm the only one, I'm alone, there's nobody else, you're probably wrong. You're probably wrong. It's easy to feel that way. I understand the sentiment. I've been there myself. But you're probably wrong. I'm thinking about a particular place where we have vacationed many times over the years. And I'm thinking of two. The first one, we looked and looked and looked and even drove sometimes, because we went every year to the same spot. And sometimes looking for a place to worship on the Lord's Day, we drove 45 or 50 miles from where we were trying to find an acceptable church and still weren't finding one. And then God sent a man with a burden to start a church in that area. And we found a church where we could agreeably, acceptably, and happily worship on a regular basis. And we did every time we went. Was it just like our church? No. Did we love everything about it? No. There were some things that I thought were weak and I'd love to see strengthened, but it was a group, it was a serious-minded pastor who loved the Lord and was working hard at expounding God's Word. He was endeavoring to be an expository preacher, and he had a congregation of people who loved the Lord and were serious about serving the Lord. And if you can't worship in a place like that, at least on vacation, you know, once a year or something like that, there's something wrong with you. If it has to be exactly everything, every dot, every crossing, every T, exactly the way I would do it, or I can't worship there, there's something wrong with a spirit like that. You've gotten too isolated, and you're the cause of it. It's the wrong attitude. Look around. God will show you where His people are. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.